Life as we know it is universally based on some combination of carbon compounds. But what if life exists based on another element? For instance, silicon.
You're creating fantasies, Mr. Spock.
Not necessarily, Bones. I've heard of the theoretical possibility of life based on silicon, but silicon-based life would be of an entirely different order.
Silicon-based life is physiologically impossible.
Well, is it? Astrobiologist Paul Davies says alien intelligence might be stranger than anything Star Trek could possibly dream up. Davies chairs the SETI Post-Detection Task Group, and he's the author of the book The Eerie Silence, Renewing Our Search for Alien Intelligence. Steve Paulson talked with Davies.
For decades, SETI has focused most of its efforts looking for radio signals from another planet. You say this may be a mistake. Is there a better way to look for ET?
I think what we should do is widen the search. The search for so-called narrowband radio signals, which is a bit like tuning into this radio station now, has been going on for 50 years. But I think that there's very little reason why ET should be beaming messages directly at us at this particular time. I just don't think that's credible, because the nearest civilization, even by optimistic estimates, is likely to be hundreds of light years away. And they see Earth as it was hundreds of years ago before there were any radio transmitters here. And so there's no particular reason that they would do it till they knew we were on the air.
Of course, the other possibility, and it's a very real possibility, is that there is no intelligent life elsewhere, that the conditions on Earth were so unique and that those life-giving requirements just simply do not exist anywhere else in the universe.
This is a really important point to get across, that there is this general assumption these days that the universe is going to be teeming with life and that there'll be intelligent life out there somewhere. But it was not always thus. When SETI began 50 years ago, one might as well have professed a belief in fairies. The prevailing view, particularly among biologists back in the 60s and 70s, was that life on Earth is a bizarre freak accident. Now the pendulum has swung the other way, and you'll often see statements, even by very distinguished scientists, saying, oh, well, the universe is so vast, there has to be life out there somewhere. But it does not follow. The one thing that we are pretty sure about is that there's plenty of real estate on which life as we know it may have arisen. That is, there are lots of other Earths. I think we can be fairly confident of that. Maybe a billion or more within our galaxy alone. Plenty of places that life could happen. But what we don't know, we absolutely don't know, is given another Earth-like planet, what are the chances are that life will obligingly pop up?
Now, my sense is that most biologists who study this assume that life elsewhere would evolve along similar Darwinian lines, and probably some highly intelligent creature would end up looking kind of like human beings. I mean, there are certain evolutionary reasons why we did evolve. Do you agree with this line of thinking?
I think it's far from obvious that the course of evolution on another planet would parallel that on Earth. It's easy for us to take the end product and look back and see all the reasons why humans, for example, have ended up with big heads and eyes stuck in them and limbs and so on. But it could play out very differently on other planets. Now, it's true that there are trends that will tend to amplify. So, for example, wings are obviously a great idea. And once you've got a little wing, it may make more sense for it to get bigger and bigger and bigger. But if I'm to give a counterexample, we think of the elephant's trunk as a sort of a rather bizarre aberration. It's an adaptation that works well for elephants, but it's very hard to imagine that on another planet, or if we reran evolution here on Earth, that you would end up with creatures with trunks.
But you are suggesting that it's entirely possible, if there is extraterrestrial intelligence out there, that it might be completely different than human beings. I mean, who knows? It might not even be in biological form. It might be some very advanced computer.
When I was writing this book, I persuaded myself that biological intelligence was just a transitory phase in the evolution of intelligence in the universe. And we can see this even in our own society, that Google is smarter than any human being on the planet. We have networked our information processing that is beyond the reach of any one biological entity, and that over time, almost all of the intellectual heavy lifting here on Earth is going to be done by designed and distributed systems, and we'll give up using words like computers and robots and so on because they're very old-fashioned. Because something like a networked information processing system is immortal, and we have some gigantic throbbing artificial megabrain, and we can imagine that a civilization that is much older than ours would long ago have passed on the mantle of the intellectual stratosphere to some sort of design distributed system.
Are you saying in this model there wouldn't be any biological basis to that civilization at all? It would be strictly computer chips?
Oh, I think that the biology is the first step along the way to this design systems. But even computer chips, I think, would betray a very old-fashioned view of this, because we can imagine, in fact, people are designing neural nets that might involve real biological components melded together with electronic components, with circuitry, which is part biological, part non-biological. And after a while, those distinctions are going to disappear. The crucial thing is they are designed systems. That's the point. They are artificial. They're designed systems. They're not evolving by Darwinian means. They're evolving by design. And that's very much more rapid. And so very soon, once you get into designed intelligence, and maybe intelligence is not what we're after. Maybe it is information processing power. Maybe it's wisdom. There are all sorts of other things that we could imagine this entity to do. Then biology, flesh and blood beings with big heads, they're left a long way behind. They're not necessarily going to phase themselves out. There may be planets that have this gigantic throbbing megabrain, and they've got humanoid creatures attending to it.
That's Paul Davies, an astrobiologist at Arizona State University and author of The Eerie Silence, Renewing Our Search for Alien Intelligence. He spoke with Steve Paulson.